The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And Jesus replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described. But him they did not see." And Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. But he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. There is something about this Gospel reading for me that is very emotional. In fact, if someone, when we're doing a funeral, if someone asks me to choose the Gospel reading, this is the one that I choose, because I find it to be such a human story. And perhaps you've had this experience when someone you love has died, and in the middle of all that exhaustion and confusion that normally happens after we lose someone we love, the temptation is just to simply say, "I'm done. I'm gone. I'm leaving Jerusalem." These were contemporaries of Jesus, too. Mary, the wife of Cleopas, was one of the ones standing at the foot of the cross. Here's Cleopas walking away. We thought he was the one, and he is gone. So what does Jesus do? What does the Son of God do? He leaves where he is, and he comes and finds us. This is the story of the Incarnation. This is what God does. He takes place. He enters into our time and our place and spends time with us. He goes out to find them. He walks with them. They have a conversation. But notice even at this point, they still don't recognize who he is, because his glorified body apparently was different enough in all of these stories that he chose the moment when they were going to recognize him, either by a word, when he speaks the name of Mary Magdalene, suddenly she realizes it's Jesus. In this particular case, it's in the breaking of the bread where they say, oh, this is the Lord. And so he walks with them and he explains to them how all of these things had to take place for the Christ, the Savior, right? The anointed one had to undergo these things. And here it is, by the way, he says, in all the scriptures and the prophets, it's been under your nose all this time. And now you must realize that this is the plan of God, the fulfillment of God. And later they say, were our hearts not burning as we listened to him speak? So they established with them this relationship. That's ultimately what this whole story is about in the gospel. It's about the relationship that God wants with you. And he comes looking for you, and he teaches you all the truth that you need to know in order to live in this relationship with him. And they get to the inn where they were going to stay, and Jesus is going to go on. He's not pressing himself on them. He's not making his presence like particularly special or anything. But because of the friendship that they had formed along the road, they say to him, why don't you come and stay with us tonight? It's late, it's getting dark, the roads are not safe. Please stay with us. And so they sit down to the meal, and suddenly, in the breaking of the bread, their eyes were opened. I heard a homily once. It stayed with me all this time. I don't know. It's a nice way of looking at this whole event, I think, because they were walking along, you know, and they had all these robes and everything. But as soon as Jesus broke the bread, what did they see? They saw the wounds in his hands. This was the thing that suddenly opened their eyes. The wounds in his hands, because nobody else had that. And this was the proof, not only the proof of the fact that it happened, but the love that it required for Jesus to do this for them. They recognized him immediately, and then suddenly he vanishes. And what do? They had been walking away. Now they're coming back. They're running back to Jerusalem to tell the other apostles what they had experienced. There was a group in the church, whenever we would do surveys about church membership, and it's not just the Catholic Church, it's all churches, but there was a category of people that they call nuns, N-O-N-E-S. When you fill out a form, it says, what is your religious affiliation? There was a box that said none, and people would check that box. It's one of the largest groups of Christians in the world today, no affiliation. But there is also a growing group of people now that they call duns, and these are people in their middle age or early elderly years that say, I've had enough, I'm leaving Jerusalem. This is all just too sad and too confusing. I don't feel like I'm being treated like a responsible adult. The whole experience of church is kind of insulting. People are leaving because what is happening is the opposite of what Jesus does. He walks with them. Does it sound like Pope Francis? I think so. He walks with them. He's constantly revealing to them the word and how it refers to him and how it touches their hearts, something that they already knew and loved so much. So they come to a place, and this is what I want to talk about today, because this is the mystery of the incarnation. Jesus takes his position. The eternal God, without any time and space, now lives in time and in a particular place. I think about the burning bush, where God is present in that bush, and the fire is burning, but the bush is not being consumed. And God says to Moses, take off your sandals, because where you walk is holy ground. I'm a member of an interfaith dialogue group. I just started a couple months ago. It's called Sacred Spaces, and one of the questions they ask is, what is a sacred space to you? And I started to think, okay, well, it's the sanctuary of the church. It's the church. It's where we meet God. And then I said, well, where is it that we really meet God? It's not just in the church. A sacred space is anywhere you encounter God and you allow God to encounter you. That's what makes it sacred. Well, I want to kind of shift my focus a little bit, because this weekend is a very important weekend for the life of our parish. We're formally kicking off the second phase of our capital campaign this weekend. And I'd like you to reflect on what that means to say we need a sacred space where we can gather and break bread and recognize Jesus in one another. The pandemic that we've just been through, it showed to us the damage of a lack of community. And I think more than ever now, we want that community to take place. Don't you long for that place where you might say to Jesus and someone else, why don't you stay with us for a little while? Stay and have a donut, right? It could be that simple, isn't it? How we form bonds of friendship, and how we give each other hope, and how we run back to Jerusalem after our experience with one another. We find ourselves constantly in this reality of a world that's so impersonal and so dehumanizing. Jesus did not come to the world to dehumanize the world. He came to the world to restore, even renew, or even recreate humanity to that which we can be. That's why I love this gospel story so much. Right, I wrote the last thing I wrote on my little note here is that this whole story is not about a longing for what has been lost. The crucifixion, the death of Jesus. It's not a longing for what has been lost. Let us work together to long for what we have found.